Well, good morning. Welcome to Inglewood Community Church online. It is the 26th of January 2025. It's Australia Day. Hi, I'm Shell. I'm one of the pastors here at Inglewood, and we are not meeting at a regular service today. We are meeting in homes all over the place. Some of you are meeting in your connect groups. Some of you are on holiday. You might be joining us from a caravan park or somewhere where you are having a great time. There's also some people in the building who have come together for a bit of a watch party. So wherever you are, welcome. We hope that you enjoy the service today and really enjoy connecting with each other. Before we get started, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, the traditional custodians on behalf of the Almighty Creator of this Muru country on which we stand today. And I'd like to share a poem. It's a blessing by Uncle Vince Ross. And he says this: "May the God of creation warm your heart like the campfires of old. Bring wisdom and peace as shown to the first peoples of this land. Shake off the dust of the desert plains by the refreshing rains, followed by the glow and warmth of the sun. Let the light of God show us the right path and stand tall like the big river gums, drawing life from the ever-flowing waters." It's so great that you can join us. It's so great to be doing church a little bit differently today. I hope that you enjoy it. It's a bit of fun. At the very end of the service, we will be having communion. So you might just want to take this moment to make sure that you and your group have something to drink, a little bit of fruit juice, whatever it might be, and some kind of breakable snack that you can use for your communion. I'd also like to just make known a few of the things that we've got coming up in the life of the church, just so that you're aware. First thing, next week is the 2nd of February, Sunday the 2nd of February. We are just gonna have a bit of a hangout at the beach after church. It's gonna be very casual. We're gonna meet at 12:30 in the grassy area near the playground, near the main water area at Hillary's. You might say, how can we find you? Aha, we have you covered. Here we have a giant popsicle. So all you need to do is look for the giant popsicle, and that's where we will be. More details will be following in the email that comes out weekly, but just so you know, look for the giant popsicle. Second thing that we've got coming up, the 5th of February, Toddler Jam starts, and that is 9:30 to 11 on Wednesday mornings. The toddlers and the parents have a huge amount of fun, so if you have never been involved in that before, make sure you come along to that. It's going to be terrific. Thirdly, some of us at this church, not myself, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit clueless when it comes to the Super Bowl, but there are a few people that take the NFL very seriously, and there will be a watch party here on Monday the 10th of February at 8:30. So if that's you, if NFL gets you excited, make sure that you come down and share that celebration with a whole bunch of the crew here. It's just gonna be a bit of fun. Then we've got the Encounter series that is starting. That's gonna be starting on Sunday the 9th of February. And that is a whole series that has been launched by Olive Tree Media, and we are going to be the WA Launch Church, which is very exciting. Our series, as I said, starts the 9th of February, and it's going to involve the Sunday service as well as content for our Connect groups. So if you are not in a Connect group, can I urge you to jump online and fill out a Connect card and make sure that you tick, I want to join a Connect group, and someone will be in touch with you very soon and we will pop you into a group. Also, Peter White is going to be down the back of church in the sign-up booth on Sunday the 2nd of February, so you're most welcome to go and have a chat with him in person. Finally, can I just say thank you to everyone who gives online. Without your support, we can't do what we do. So thank you so very much to you. There are many ways that you can give to our church. Some of those are going to appear on the screen right now. So thank you very much for that. Okay, enough from me. We are going to turn our attention now to Peter, and he's got a word for us. So listen up. It's a good one.
Hey, well, happy Australia Day, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of our Take a Breath series. Now, It's a different sort of service today, and I'm hoping that you had no trouble tuning in to this morning. If you did, I know how frustrating that can be. Let me tell you a story from some years ago, back when we lived in Dawesville. It was really a mysterious thing happened. All of the Channel 7 channels, so, you know, 7, 7.2, 7.8, etc., they just started to lose reception. They would start blocking out with static and then the screen would go blank. And it would also only happen during the day. And this was a big problem because this was before I had my KO subscription and therefore access to Fox Sports. And, you know, I'm like, oh no, you know, what am I going to be able to watch the NFL on? And I remember one particular year that the Super Bowl was coming up fairly soon. And as I left one morning to go down to the office, I said to Alicia, look, can you just call up a technician to come out and just figure out what is going on with our TV reception? Like, what is happening to this signal? Well, out came the technician, and there was some good news and some bad news. The good news was that he didn't charge us anything. The bad news was, the reason why he didn't charge us anything was because that there was nothing that he could do. He said that basically there was nothing wrong with any of our equipment in our house. The antenna was fine, no dud connections, nothing. He said, unfortunately, there is some external electromagnetic interference that is specifically coming in on that frequency that Channel 7 uses. Fantastic. Great. So we can't do anything about it. Long story short, it turned out that it was the portable solar system inverter on our next door neighbor's caravan that was causing the issue. And that was why it was only during the day, because obviously there's no sun rays at night, so it wasn't switched on. Thankfully, Rocco, our neighbor, he sold the caravan 6 months later after numerous encouragements from me to buy yet another Ducati motorcycle. So that was the end of our transmission issues, and we got Channel 7 back, albeit too late to watch the Super Bowl that year. But as we look to our next installment of Take a Breath, I want to ask you the question, have you ever gone through a time like that in your prayer journey? Maybe you feel like there's been a struggle to get your signal, if you like, to God, or you feel like you've struggled to receive a signal, as it were, from God. There's like something external cutting it off. You know, I believe that at some point, aside from spiritual attack, throughout our Christian lives, we can sometimes feel like we're struggling to get signal in our prayer life. And so this morning, I want to have a look at Jesus' teaching on prayer in Matthew's Gospel, but before what we call the Lord's Prayer. There's lots of sermons on the Lord's Prayer, lots of teaching on that. Fantastic. It's a really important part of Scripture. But I actually want to look at what Jesus says as he's preparing people before he talks about the Lord's Prayer. In other words, what posture to get into before we get about the task of prayer. And so there's four signal blockers, if you want to call it this, four things that get in the way in the context of prayer in our lives. I hope you're ready, and I hope you're ready to discuss this with the others as you're hopefully viewing this in a Connect group, or even maybe later in the week, go through some of these things with some friends. Here we go. Number one is hypocrisy. Let's start with the heavy stuff, right? Jesus said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Now, some of you may know that the word hypocrite, it's not originally like a theological word. It comes originally from Greek theatre. A hypocrite was really just another noun for actor. It was a job. People were professional actors. There's nothing wrong with acting for an audience if it is your job. So it wasn't really an insult before Jesus kind of started using it in the way we see here. But Jesus is using this term to describe a person who is playing a role for a net benefit. You know, actors do it for a paycheck. But in this case, it's not someone who's being paid in cash, but
being kind of paid in glory for themselves, personal glory. And it's a scary bit of scripture because, as a friend of mine once wrote in an article, the spiritual life is almost like this lifelong war against our natural proclivity towards hypocrisy. Hypocrisy can sneak up on us without even realizing it. Maybe that's why Luther, very famous reformer, once said, all of life is repentance. I mean, what does he mean by that? Surely we repent once, right? And then we get into a relationship with God. No, Luther said, all of life is constant repentance. Why? Well, I think Luther realized that the moment that we stop being honest with ourselves, we start living a life of double standards. And the moment you start living a life of double standards, you become forced to play a role to maintain the public persona versus the private persona. It's super dangerous. So what are some things that we need to look out for? To get you thinking on some of these things, I'm gonna be like, these are from my own journey, right? So here are some of the key signs that I've identified as to when I am starting to slip into hypocrisy. These are some red flags. All right, so red flag number one. I find that when I get frustrated addressing issues with other people that I myself struggle with, that's a big red flag. If someone's coming to me talking about something which resonates with an area in my life where I feel weakest and I start getting frustrated with them, huge red flag. Another one for me, when I find myself in a situation where I just cannot bring myself to apologize. When's the last time you apologized to someone? It's hard to apologize sometimes. That's a red flag for, you know, sliding into hypocrisy when we cannot apologize for something. When someone challenges me on something and I start moving directly into justification of my own actions or constructing language to somehow lessen its impact. And that's really dangerous when your day job is all about constructing language, right? Fourthly, I find myself using scripture to correct people more often than encourage them. How often are you correcting people versus encouraging people? If it's way down on this end, that's a red flag there. Fifthly, I can start to pick and choose who I'm going to show love to. That's a red flag. And sixthly, when I start to become fearful to speak up for God's glory in areas where I see his glory is being diminished, when I'm becoming scared to speak up for the glory of God when I see it being tarnished or diminished. In other words, hypocrites, they're only outspoken about things when it benefits them. And so that one, for me, is another red flag. There are more, but you know, we've got to get on to other things. But just to start getting you thinking about, hey, what are some of the red flags in my own life of when I'm starting to slide into hypocrisy? It's important to think through, guys, because left unchecked, these things can ruin your prayer life. They can stop us from being able to take a breath in God's presence. They will block the signal. The question is, what causes it? Well, the cause is also our next one, our next signal blocker, the desire for the now, the preoccupation with the right now. You know, Jesus says in the second half of verse 5 there, truly I tell you, they, he's referring to the hypocrites, of course, they have received their reward in full. So prayer, a big part of prayer is a realignment, a constant realignment with a different kingdom, the kingdom of this world versus the kingdom of heaven. And obviously prayer is aligning with the kingdom of heaven. It's a kingdom that is a now but also a not yet kingdom, a future kingdom. And people can't serve two kingdoms because we can't serve two masters or kings, right? And because Jesus is God incarnate, I mean, we spent our Christmas series, you know, emphasizing that over and over again. Because Jesus is God incarnate, he's speaking with, of course, God's perspective, not just the perspective of a Jewish rabbi, as great as that might be. And what that means is that anytime you're reading Jesus' words, you've got to think of it like an X-ray machine of the human heart. We're getting like this X-ray view of what really goes on, the internal dynamics of the human heart. And it's happening here. So Jesus is diagnosing not just what causes hypocrisy, as I alluded to earlier, but he's also showing us a major signal blocker, the desire for now. When Jesus says that they have received their reward in full, he's saying, very simply, they've gotten what they wanted. They're not actually interested in God or the God of the Scriptures. They've already gotten their reward. This is important to realize because here's what he's not saying, right? He's not saying that God is going to withhold things from them because he's angry at what they're doing. He is angry, but that's not why they're missing out. They're missing out on future blessings. They're missing out on the kingdom of God because they're not interested. In other words, the table, it's fully set. The invitation has been sent. They just don't want to turn up. It's not that God is saying, well, I'm going to withhold that from you now. No, no. If there was repentance, it's all there. The invitation's sent. They're just not interested. They just don't want to turn up to the party. If we go one layer deeper, what Jesus is telling us in this kind of X-ray view of the human heart is this. There is an infallible spiritual rule that moves throughout all of Jesus' teachings, and it's this. In the end, you always get what you want. Yeah. In the end, you always get what you really want. Dallas Willard said it like this: your system is perfectly designed to get the outcomes that you are currently experiencing. If we don't like the outcomes that we're experiencing, we need to ask ourselves the question, what really is my heart's desire? We're all pleasure-seeking beings, let's just be honest about it. But C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, he pointed out that in one sense, a Christian is the true hedonist. A Christian is the true hedonist because Christians know that all the pleasures of the now are nothing in comparison with what awaits in eternity. So they are willing to give up the now for the sake of eternity. But maybe nothing blocks the signal from a distant land, from the kingdom of God, and therefore diminishes our vision of its king like the alluring pleasures of the now. Jesus also said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Can I say it also like this? Where your heart is, there your signal will be. So that was a whole bunch of like religious stuff. That was the Pharisees mainly. But what happens here? Jesus turns to a different group. Matthew 6 verse 7 says, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. For they think that they will be heard because, most important word there, of their many words. Jesus turns from having a crack at the Pharisee to the pagan. But notice, this is so important, guys, the problem actually remains exactly the same, religiosity. See, paganism, even paganism, is religious at its core. And please also note that Jesus is not having a crack at people who just simply like to say a lot to him. More on that later. The point here is that these people, they have attached an imaginary significance to the amount and complexity of their words. Let me say that again. They have attached an imaginary significance to the amount and the complexity of their words. The amount and the complexity of their words in their own minds demands that their prayers are answered. So to boil that down even further, they're making prayer into a religious vending machine. And their words are the currency that they're putting in. $5 note is 5 words. 100 words, really complex words, might be a $100 note. But notice that this is not just the invention of a religious formula, but having invented a formula, there is now a demand that God submits to that formula. There's a manipulation or an attempt to manipulate God. So why are so many people angry at God or angry about God? Well, yep, fair enough. There are people, many people, that have gone through religious trauma, and some of that has occurred in a church context. But that's not everyone. I think one reason why so many people are angry at God, or at least disappointed with God, is this. When I put my $5 note into the vending machine, and like the thing goes, but then it stops, and the chocolate bar gets stuck, the first thing I want to do is whack the vending machine. Or maybe hip and shoulder it if there's no one around. I get angry at the vending machine. I deserve that chocolate bar. It took my money and I didn't get the bar. So if prayer has been created in an image of a vending machine in a person's life, no wonder there's anger at God when he doesn't vend the answer to prayer that we would want from him. You see, it's a huge signal blocker when you really think about it. Maybe those that are angry with God, what if they went into prayer? What if they talked to God with that pagan attitude? You know, a real expression of this, there's an Oasis song that has a lyric where he's talking about his own prayers, and his prayer says, "And calling out to God, I say to him, if you won't save me, please don't waste my time." What anger at God. This is a huge signal blocker for a lot of people. So it's really worth asking the question, how does it come about? Well, it comes about through our fourth and last one, fear. Fear. We live in an age of FOMO, right? Let's have a look at Jesus' words again. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." There's a promise. "And when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans." So we get that bit before. "For they will be like..." So they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. This is a massive comparison statement here. For why? Why do you not have to be like them? Well, the reason why is because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, the problem with the pagan pantheons of the first century world was that they tended to look like deified human beings in their attitude and conduct. You know, the gods were very, very human in a sense, in the worst sense of the word. The moment, though, that you make gods or construct gods with all the human foibles so that they're more relatable, you also create another problem. And that is that you've created gods with all the human foibles, so they're either not as powerful, or worse, they're extremely powerful, but massively untrustworthy. I mean, Zeus, he's sneaking into people's bedrooms at midnight. Why would you want to trust him? That's the problem. And faith in a God like that isn't really a joyful faith, but it's more of a consistent nagging fear that you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on something. So how do you assuage that fear? Well, you think maybe if my prayers are really long and impressive, and then you get the situation that we've just talked about a minute ago. But notice where it comes from. It dovetails into this fourth and final signal blocker, fear. Jesus loves long prayers, don't get me wrong, as I mentioned earlier. And can I say that a long prayer is not necessarily babbling? Recently, I caught up with a school friend of mine that I went to Morley High School with. We caught up at Coventry Square Market. We haven't seen each other for best part of a decade. He moved to Kalgoorlie and then Esperance, but he's moving back to Perth, which is great. Like, I'm back in Perth. I was like, hey, man, let's catch up. And I said to Alicia, I'm going to go down. We'll have a drink. You know, I'll be back in about an hour. 3 hours later, I said, oh, Tim, man, I'm going to head home. We didn't take ages because we were babbling at each other. We just connected, like we just plugged back in, even though we hadn't seen each other in a long time. It was like this friendship just started up again. And it was a really fulfilling time of just chatting. Have you got a person like that in your life where when you get together, you just shoot the breeze and time just flies because you're enjoying the conversation? You're not trying to get anything from each other. You're just enjoying the company. Jesus can be a friend like that. But how can it get to that level if we're scared of what he's not going to do for us all the time, right? He wants to hear from us, not just when we're in trouble or scared, but also because we're just so thankful for his provision that we've got the space to talk to him about the little things. And by the way, if there's someone out there that thinks, oh, but God, this is so small, this thing, like God wouldn't want to hear about this little thing that... Here's the deal. When you're God, everything's small. So maybe we need to sort of get over that a little bit. He's interested in every hair on your head. In Matthew 5, we get this promise of this great reward in verse 6, followed by this assurance. And it's all in comparison with the pagan way, right? This assurance in verse 8. But what's it directly connected to? Relationship. Father, then your Father will reward you because your Father knows what you need and so on and so forth. In other words, in this age of anxiety that can creep into our prayers and block the signal, what does Jesus do? He deconstructs our fear. He pulls apart our anxiety with his assurance of relationship. Relationship. So will you chill out? He's your Father. He's your Father. He knows what you need. And when we realize that, it's like, breathe, take a breath. Guys, when you're relaxed in God's presence, you talk about different stuff. And so that brings us to our soak it in moment. What if you're sitting there watching this in your Connect group, or maybe just in your own lounge room, and you're thinking, oh man, I identify with some of these, yikes. So if you're struggling with some of these signal blockers, what do you do? Well, there's two steps. The first one's really simple. I say this to people that come to me audibly and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with my prayer life at the moment. If you're struggling to pray, don't worry about prayer. Just tell God about all the things that you think are keeping you from praying. And you'll probably find yourself starting to pray. But sometimes we just need to get rid of the word for a moment and just get back to this idea of just a conversation with God. If you're struggling to pray, just start by telling God about all the things that are keeping you from praying. That's step one. But step two, which pertains mostly to today, let's help each other with this. If you received the email that went out this week, there are some questions in that, as there is every week. But work through those questions now in your Connect group. If you aren't in a Connect group as you're watching this, why not give someone a call and say, hey, let's catch up for coffee this week and work through some of these questions. Before I let you get on with that activity, let me pray for you now as we, just think about how do we get that signal? How can we take a breath in prayer? Let's pray. Lord God, some of us might be just absolutely feeling like our connection to you is stronger than it's ever been, and we thank you for that. Hallelujah. But Lord, some of us might have been feeling like there's something interfering with the signal. There's some external interference which is blocking our sense of connection with you. Lord, I pray that both sets of those people coming together in these conversations around these questions, Lord, I pray that there would not be any condemnation, but would there be encouragement? Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to journey with each other as you journey with us. Help us to be honest about where we may be experiencing a blockage of the signal, where we may be struggling in prayer. So that, Lord, through community, your Holy Spirit and your healing could just come into that space. Father, we want to be a church that is connected to you, connected to the real you, not connected to a vending machine, not connected to a God that we need to constantly appease or be scared of or worried about. We want to be connected to the Father who knows us and who knows what we need even before we ask you. So we pray for connection that we might be able to relax in your presence and breathe you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you so much for your message, Peter. That was really practical, and I'm sure many of us got some really good gems out of that. Hey guys, it's time for us to end our broadcast and turn the rest of the service over to you and whoever else you have watching the service with you this morning. There are going to be some questions that flash up on the screen, so turn to each other and ask, what did you get out of it? Explore these questions together and just see what different perspectives, different voices have experienced in this. Then when you finish that, it's time for communion. And you guys can lead communion for yourselves this morning. Why don't you hand out the juice and the bread? Just remember Christ. Remember that he has come. Remember what he did on the cross. And remember that he's coming again. And give thanks together. And finally, why don't you pray for each other? Just say a quick prayer for everyone who is gathered in your group this morning and just finish off your Sunday service lifting each other up to the Lord. Hey, I'm going to finish by praying, so why don't you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for our church community. Thank you that you have blessed us with each other and the resources to be able to meet in your name and communicate your gospel in this area. Lord, we want to thank you for our country, and we acknowledge the really terrific things that you have blessed us with. We also want to acknowledge that we are not a perfect country, and there are some things that are wrong in our country. And Lord, we ask that you would do a transformative work. We ask that you would turn hearts in our country toward you, and that you would transform lives. Lord Jesus, would you bless us, and would you move us forward? Amen. Hey, thanks guys. It's been so great to meet with you online this morning. I am really looking forward to actually seeing you in person next week. So make sure you rock up to church in the building 10 o'clock on Sunday. See ya.